Today's Unseminary Podcast episode is brought to you by Church Community Builder. I love how these guys help church leaders make and grow disciples by providing software and coaching focused on improving operational effectiveness. Church Community Builder provides leaders like me with insights into engagement of our church community, helping us close the gaps that allow people to slip away unnoticed. Visit churchcommunitybuilder.com to learn more.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. My name's Rich, the host around these parts. Thank you so much for tuning in. Happy Thursday. We hope as you head into this weekend, we know things are really busy at your church. We know that you've got a lot going on, and we're just honored that you would take some time out to just pause and reflect and grow a little bit. So thank you for putting us in your earbuds. Today, we're honored to have Brent Dolfo from Leadership Network with us. For folks that don't know, Leadership Network, I always like to say the Leadership Network guys are the smartest guys in the room. They're an organization that really is dedicated to try to really see 10x impact happen in churches. They really are trying to network together thinkers from churches, and not just thinkers, but doers from churches that are making a big impact. And Brent is a part of the team there. He's grand poobah of all things leadership development. So Brent, welcome to the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, give us how you describe Leadership Network and then what you do there.
Yeah, Leadership Network gathers large church leaders together to innovate, to think about new ideas, but also to how to turn them into reality. So moving from ideas to implementation to impact. And so we do two kind of gatherings. One are sort of lead team gatherings that gather around to work on a particular question and make impact. Or the other group are more senior leader of senior pastors that are gathering together to learn from one another. But the idea is, how do we turn vision into action? How do we take good ideas and make them into good strategies and good ministry?
Very cool. Now, if you've been listening to the Unseminary Podcast recently, we've been gone through this run of really interviewing executive pastors, senior leaders from some of the fastest growing churches in the country. And it seems like leadership development is a core theme at all of them. Churches that are making an impact have figured out how to develop leaders, release them, ultimately, not just in their church, but in, you know, the world around them. Obviously, that's been a part of what you've been wrestling through. That's been a part of the story there. I wonder if you could give us a sense of some of the lessons you've learned as you've been interacting with leaders in some of these churches.
Yeah, and what I've been doing is I've had 6 or 7 cohorts of large churches, 10 or 12, that'll gather for 2 years together to work on creating an excellent leadership development pipeline pathway and talk about all the elements that go into making that really work. And the first one that we've discovered that's really in question is what I would call the why question. Mm. They have developed a narrative by which why do we need to develop leaders? Mm-hmm. And usually the narrative is around either we're a multi-site church and we want to plant more multi-site locations. It can be we're a church planting church, we want to plant more churches. It can be that we want to really make an impact in our community and we don't have enough leaders to do it. And so everybody has sort of had this idea as multiplication or community impact or growth leads us to this crisis of if we don't develop more leaders, we're not going to be able to do all that. Mm. And because there's this other narrative going on in the church, which is more consumeristic, meet my needs, develop programs for our people. If you lose sight of the expansion or multiplication narrative, usually what happens is leadership development falls off of the agenda.
Now, the why, is this more specific, or in the churches you're seeing, more specific than just kind of the Great Commission sort of,
yes,
we're trying to reach everyone in the world?
Yeah, it's more particular to here's what we've been called to do. Here's what the piece we own. And that's really stretching us, and we don't have enough leaders to do it. And so if we don't lean into leadership development, we can't go after that next community, that next city, that next neighborhood, that little middle school that we want to impact. If we don't have enough leaders, we can't do that. And no one's going to produce them for us. They're not going to show up on our doorstep ready to roll. We have to do that. And so there's this crisis of scope. Our scope is too big given the amount of leaders we have. Churches do a great job with leadership development, have a narrative that's very personalized towards why they need to develop leaders.
Very cool. Make it really pedestrian, so it's really going to take it up and run with it. Is there a church that you think does the kind of is a shining example that they've done a really good job on that? I'm sure there's a lot. Obviously, you've dealt with a lot of churches. Is there anybody that kind of jumped to the front of mind for you?
Yeah, I think the guys that I really would talk about would be the guys at Community Christian in Chicago, Dave and John Ferguson, the New Thing Network that hosts the Exponential Conference. Those guys have done a really good job of creating a passion within their people is that we're here to help people find their way back to God. And there's so many pockets around Chicago that people need to find God. There's so many churches we need to plant in the world. And so everybody grows up with this idea that the only way we're going to get there is if we develop leaders with passion and giftedness and calling that can go do those things. And they do a fabulous job with that.
Very cool. What's another? So why question? That's obviously a big, what are some of the other things you're seeing?
The other thing that I would say is churches do a really good job, have come to a point where they have developed a good apprenticing model of leadership development. In the old days, it used to be go to this class or go to seminary or go to these places and then you're going to be a leader. Right. And I think what everybody's realized now is, you know, the way Jesus developed his guys was come with me, and we're going to go do this cool ministry stuff, and you're going to learn how to do it. And then, I didn't tell you this part, now I'm going to actually go send you to go do it yourself. And so churches have taken that are doing a great job in leadership development, have really doing a great job of apprenticing new leaders. Every leader has an apprentice. Every leader has somebody that they're trying to develop. And that becomes part of their culture, what they measure, what they value. And so that's something that they do really, really well. And tied right along with that is what Michael Fletcher at Mana Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina, will call shoulder tapping, or guys of Community Christian call ICNU moments. It's having that elevator pitch of why the kingdom is so critical and what this role that I do is so critical in the kingdom. And I see so many great things in you. I calling out things I see in you. And hey, would you love to learn how to do what I do? Would you love to be part of the team that we can kind of lead this together and I can teach you how to do that? And so really calling people into a life more than just consumer Christianity and getting in the game, so to speak, and then having a model by which apprenticeship looks like. And apprenticing isn't a new concept, but everybody knows what's our model here. What are the steps that we do here? And it can be as simple as simply saying things like, you know, it's going to be I do, you watch. Then the next phase is going to be I do, you help. Then the next phase will be you're going to do it and I'm going to help. And then you're going to do it, I'm going to watch. And now I've apprenticed them into all the things necessary to lead in at that level. And so apprenticing and that apprenticeship model and calling people into that with ICNU moments are critical to have a great leadership development culture in your church.
Help me understand this. So I see that in so many churches where, you know, apprenticing is core really to how they're going to, you know, impact their culture. There's this interesting, I would say, conundrum in a lot of churches where, you know, the senior leader, the person that's leading the organization, senior pastor, lead pastor, or whatever, core to their function, typically, not all the time, but a lot of times, core to their function is like a teaching experience where they're, and a lot of times, they're the primary communicator for, you know, maybe 30 weeks a year, you know, the vast majority. And there seems to be a lack or it's harder to get that apprenticing going with that particular piece of what so many growing churches are, you know, trying to do. Obviously, this pushes a bit of the succession issue, pushes a bit of that conversation. How are churches that are able to develop an apprenticing culture how are the senior leaders in that able to articulate that in a way when maybe their core function, teaching, yes, they're not doing that in?
That's a very excellent question. And what we've discovered is sort of the next principle, mm-hmm, is that somebody on the senior team has to wake up every day thinking about apprenticing and developing that, mm-hmm, apprenticing and leadership development culture. Mm-hmm. So the high-performing churches that are larger, that can afford to, have now someone on their lead team that's in charge of leadership development across everything that they do. Mm. And I would argue that a larger church needs somebody that at least 70% of their job is just developing that throughout the whole organization. Now, the interesting thing that I've observed is people staff to what's important.
Right.
People staff to what's important. And so for the senior leader, even though his job may be primarily communication, or the executive pastor, it's sort of managing the craziness of making everything happen. Mm-hmm. If they realize that leadership development is critical to them accomplishing their vision, they will staff to it. Mm. And it doesn't always need to be a full-time person, but somebody has to wake every day reminding everybody, mm, you know, as you think about strategic planning for a church, we plan how much money is it going to take, yes, how many strategies are we going to, but very seldom do we think about how many leaders are we going to need to get that vision done, and who's tasked to make sure that we stay on point on getting that piece of the plan done. And that's what excellent churches do, because as we all know, Sunday comes along with an alarming frequency, mm, and the scream of just getting Sunday done, yes. And you got to have somebody worrying about this. The analogy that I use sometimes is a great Major League Baseball team, and and they have rookie ball, they have single A ball, double A ball, triple A ball, and they have somebody who's in charge of the farm system.
Right.
And so as the church develops, the mindset is, as we're developing leaders through all the levels of our pipeline, we got to have somebody keeping their eye on that ball.
Cool. Do you have time for maybe one more of the 10 before we keep
moving
on?
Yeah, we have. And the other thing that I would say is that people have really worked through their leadership pipeline. Now, mm, some people don't like that. They think it sounds mechanistic, but it can be pathway, whatever word you want to use. Right. So here's a question that I usually ask pastors. I say, for those in your church that are leading a small group of leaders, mm-hmm, a group of 8 to 10 people, what do they need to be great at in your model to be a great leader? And most senior pastors give me kind of a blank stare, like, I don't know.
Love Jesus.
And I would argue that needs to be crystal clear, that if I'm serving in the first impressions team and I'm leading a small group, I'm leading in the youth ministry, I'm an usher, anywhere I serve, if I'm leading a small group of people, those key things that need to be true about me need to be true across the whole church. Mm. And I would argue that 80% of leadership is the same in a church. 20% is just the context by which I do it. Mm. And so I can't build leaders with the end in mind if I don't know what the end in mind is. Mm. I can't build leaders unless I know what are the 4 or 5 key characteristics I'm trying to build into the people. And then you think about the next level of leadership, because typically a church has 4 or 5 levels of leadership. Mm-hmm. The second letter is, who's giving coaching leadership to those small group leaders, and what do they need to be great at? Mm-hmm. And again, the blank stare. But for a church to actually work through every level of leadership, all the way up to the lead team, of what are the 4 or 5 things they need to be really great at, a church cannot build with the end in mind. So churches are doing a great job, have done the hard work of staff alignment across departments, that we're all building leaders that have the same kind of end in mind. They may do different functions in terms of where they serve, but what they're great at is the same.
Yeah, I think that's a huge insight. That is a struggle in the churches I've served in, where I think we get, as a church begins to grow, you can become siloed pretty quickly.
Yes.
And you end up having almost competing leadership development strategies.
That's
across
right.
them. So, you know, the family ministry, they're developing a certain type of leader, you know, maybe the small groups people, they're developing a certain kind, you know, the people that work about the weekends, well, they're just worried about the weekends. So how have churches been able to transition out of those silos to saying, how do we kind of all agree together on what kind of leaders we're trying to develop?
Well, that's one of the key roles of the person that's in charge of leadership development for a whole church. It's okay. It's leading the alignment process so that everybody's on the same page. And so that a little story, Gateway Church in Dallas was in one of our groups, and they talked about one of their problems when they got involved was, if I served in the first impression team, because they had their own leadership development, then I wanted to go children's ministry. I had to go start at ground level again and do all the training from the beginning, because the training, everybody had their own training, just like you said. Mm-hmm. And as they went through this, they began to see what if our training across all of our different ministries is actually the same? Why are we not training leaders that 80% of their training is the same, the 20% of the context? So leading the process where you get the staff aligned to what's the what and the how, and then what happens is we're now building with the end in mind. But if you don't have somebody who works up every day, wakes up every day, kind of helping connect all those hoses and getting that process together, it's really hard to ever get over that hump.
So now, how does leadership develop or leadership network help with this? Obviously, you've kind of intimated you've got, you know, these groups. How else are you kind of helping try to lead the charge with churches on this conversation?
Well, what we do is when we're gathering them together, we offer them this two-year collaborative group where they'll get to have an open source learning environment for 12 churches that are working in this particular area of leadership development. In other words, we've said this is a must-win battle for us. We've got to figure this thing out. Mm. And so being in that environment where they can learn from one another's models, because everybody comes into the process where part of the things they've got going really well, and some of them they're terrible at. Mm-hmm. Some they're just developing. So they get to learn from one another, and we make them come with their lead teams so that the decision makers can actually decide what needs to happen. And part of the process, we bring in some outside experts of other models that are doing really a great job, and then we make them do a plan. Okay, in the next 6 months till we're together, right, what do we got to work on to get on to get this done? And when they come back together in 6 months, they actually have to report back on their progress. And in between meetings, I do coaching with each of the teams just to kind of make sure that they're moving things along. So the idea at the end of the 2 years is that you've got everything done you need to get done to have a great flourishing leadership development process. Now, we're switching things up a little bit. We're starting something called the Hub, where we'll have four or five of our topics together at the same time. We'll meet three times to get this done. But that, in essence, is our process, open source learning, moving from implementation to impact.
Very cool. Anything else you'd like to share before we jump on to the lightning round?
Let's go to the lightning round.
That's great.
Hey, one more thing. Let me say one more thing. The one other thing that people do really well that do a great culture is they begin to get some measures around leadership development. What are the metrics that you use to make sure we're on track? And a couple that I'll mention just real quickly before we move to the lightning round. One is, I always tell people, think about what percentage of your current leaders have apprentices. That will tell you where you're going to be in 2 years with the number of leaders you have. And so if you can begin to measure that. And the second one is, what percentage of your staff have you raised up from within? Because that's a lagging indicator. That'll tell you how well we've done in the past. So measures and keeping a scoreboard or on the scorecard, if there's something about leadership development, that also really helps do a great job.
This is the Unseminary Podcast. Stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
Well, we're going to jump into the lightning round. Super excited to have Brent with us today from Leadership Network. It's been a great conversation today all around leadership development and how we, you know, how we should think about that and things we should be wrestling through. Brent, what's an online resource you're using these days that's helping you in your ministry?
Well, very something simple, Gmail. Nice. We can do online documents back and forth with all. So all the Gmail family of stuff has worked really well for us.
Very cool. What's a book you've read in the last 6 months that's impacting your thinking or ministry?
One book I'm reading right now is called The 20s Church by Heather Stevens and Will Mancini. A look at 20 churches across America that have done a really good job working with millennials.
Very cool. What's another ministry that's inspiring you these days? This one I'm leaning in on, because a guy like you that's connected to so many churches, what's another church that you're looking at that's inspiring you?
Well, the church that really inspires me, a couple would be Community Christian, which I've mentioned, from Chicago. The other one I really love is Michael Fletcher's church, Manna Church, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And a couple little interesting things. That's where Delta Force is out of. Mm-hmm. And they lose 1,000 members to deployment every year and are still growing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And so, you know, out of, they have like 100 people on payroll, 99 of them have been raised up from people that have come to faith and been grown in that context. And so people that are actually doing it, I love those guys.
Yeah, I had a chance to spend some time with them last year at an event that Leadership Network put on, and fantastic leaders, great church for sure. Highly recommend you follow those folks if you don't. Now, this question here might be a tricky one, but if you could get 15 minutes with any leader alive, who would you want to get that with and why?
That's a really good question. That's a hard one because there's so many really interesting people. And I'm going to go way out on a limb here and say something really strange that probably no one has ever said before. It'd be Vladimir Putin.
Oh, nice. And why is that? That'll be the first on the podcast for sure.
Yes. Well, I think that they're such an outlier in terms of world politics and how their worldview is compared to a Western democratic worldview. I would just be fascinated to crawl into his mind and figure out why he does what he does.
Interesting. Interesting. That's very cool. All right. Well, I'm sure, you know, you got a lot going on at Leadership Network, trying to help all these churches, dealing with tons of them at the same time. When you just want to kind of relax, kick back, enjoy life a little bit, what do you do for fun?
I am the president of our local track and field club and have been for 10 years. I love getting out on the track with athletes. And I run our track meet in town every year that has about 1,000 athletes at it. And so... there's something just fun about getting back and helping kids be the best they can be, to throw as far as they can throw and run as fast as they can and jump as high as they can.
Nice. Well, Brent, thanks so much for being on the show today. If people want to get in touch with you or with Leadership Network, how can they do that?
Yeah, my email, feel free to contact me, is Brent, B-R-E-N-T, dot Dolfo, good Italian name, D-O-L-F, as in Frank, O, at leadnet.org.
Nice. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.